Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Pei Ches. We're going to pick up again from daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis. I missed yesterday, so we'll just try to recap a little bit, starting from the Mishnah. I'm not going to read it back from the Mishnah, but recap a little bit of what we're in the middle of discussing. The Mishnah spoke about a case where a guy sends his child to a chenveni, to a storekeeper, to pick up some oil. And the chenveni measures out the oil into the kli of the child, and then the kli breaks. So the question is, who's chayiv to pay for the kli? Is it the chenveni who's chayiv to pay for the kli, or is the chenveni patur for paying for the kli, and the balabais has to absorb the loss of the kli? So it's a machlokas in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah had said that the chamra modet to Rabbi Yehuda when the tzlochus is biyad hatinok, when the child never let go of the kli, he was holding on to the kli the entire time, then the chamra modet to Rabbi Yehuda that the chenveni is going to be patur, he's not going to bear any responsibility for the kli if he never touched it. The child was holding it the entire time. So what are they arguing about? What is this machlokas about? Whether the chenveni is chayiv to pay for the kli or not chayiv to pay for the kli. So the Gemara is going to suggest four possibilities of what they might be arguing about. The first possibility the Gemara suggested is four lines into the Gemara. The Gemara said, "Hach b'balabayis mocher tzlochios askinan." We're dealing with a balabayis who's selling plates that they, you know, the kind of kli that the child was holding. So he's selling these plates. And it happens to be while the chenveni may have been selling oil to the balabayis was actually selling a kli to the chenveni. And this is in line with what Shmuel taught, that if a person takes a kli from an uman in order to check it out and to see if it's what he wants, what he's interested in, so he's going to examine it, and then an onus happens and it gets destroyed while it's in his possession, while he's looking at it, while he's checking it out, chayiv. So then you're going to be chayiv. So you see that the first suggestion of what they're arguing about is when the chenveni is actually looking at the kli, not stam to put oil in the kli to send back to the balabayis, but actually because he's thinking about purchasing the kli. And while he's thinking about purchasing the kli and he's holding on to it, it gets destroyed. So the machlokas in our Mishnah is actually machlokas whether we hold like Shmuel or not. Whether we hold that if you're nenas, while you're checking out a kli, you're chayiv. So the Gemara rejects this possibility because the Gemara says, well then Shmuel is Tanaihi. Shmuel's statement is actually subject of Machlokas Tanaim. He's not introducing anything new. He's paskening one way in a Machlokas Tanaim. He should tell us Halacha, like the Shita that says that you're chayiv, like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he just say it as if it's his own brand new Shita? Just in terms of understanding the idea that you're chayiv, what is Shmuel's din? That the chenveni is chayiv. So the Tosos writes in the Dibra Maskal Lokeach, just the very beginning of the Tosos says, L'chore nira de chayiv mishum de chashav kishowel. He says, you're chayiv probably because you're considered like a shoel. When you're checking out the kli, you're looking at it to see if it's good, you're considered like a shoel. Why? Because it's hana'as lokeachi, meaning all the hana'ah is yours. Meaning you're the one that's considered to be getting the hana'ah when you're examining the kli and you're looking at it, so it's purely for your benefit that you're doing so. It doesn't benefit the seller that you're sitting there examining it. So since it's purely your hana'ah, that's the definition of a shoel. A shoel is when all of the hana'ah is the person that's holding on to it right now is getting all the hana'ah. Okay, the Tosos quotes another daya a little bit further down in Tosos that maybe you're chayiv because you're considered like a lokeach. Not that you're considered like a shoel, but that you're already considered like a lokeach at the time that you're holding on to it and examining it, even though you haven't yet paid for it, you haven't yet made the final decision that you're going to purchase it. Okay, but either way, that is possibility number one to explain the machlokas in our Mishnah, but we reject it. So now possibility number two about what we're arguing about in our Mishnah. Ella Rabbi Rav Yosef Damri Travayu, Hacha b'chenveni mocher tzlochios askinan. We're not dealing with a balabayis who's selling plates, we're dealing with a chenveni who's selling plates. So the balabayis is not only buying oil, he might be buying a plate as well. Vaz Rabbi Yehuda l'tameh v'rabbanan l'tamayu, and this is Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan going l'shita sam, that whether you're going to be chayiv, whether you're going to be chayiv or not. So the... The Rashbam writes in the first very wide line, "Hacha bechenveni mochet slochios v'hach slochus masnisin shel chenveni hi," and therefore the slochus that we're talking about in the Mishnah belongs to the chenveni. Sheshalach lo balabayis hadamim biad beno liknos slochus mimenu. The case is that the balabayis sent money with the kid to pay for the plate, ulahavi bashemen, and to get oil in the plate as well. And therefore that slochus is not an aveda midas. The rabbanon tamayu da'amri gavi iser v'shemen chayiv d'lo odue shadrei v'adin l'tslochus. The rabbanon olashitasam, because they say that when you send the child, you clearly don't want the child to be holding things that he can easily drop or lose, or you only want to let the chenveni know that you're interested in buying something. So the child is more of a messenger to just get the word out there, let the chenveni know that you're interested in buying, but not that you actually want him to be the one to hold it. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei d'l'shtri yayim v'shem l'tzalchus b'yad b'no shadrei l'b'no, that Rabbi Yehuda's l'shitaso, who says, no, if you sent the child on this mission, then you obviously want the child to carry it out. You're telling the chenveni that it's okay, that he can give it to the kid, and you trust the kid, and it's fine for the kid to bring it back home. So that's why the chenveni would be pater, because he had every right to assume that the kid would bring it, to trust the child. So frankly, Gemara, good, that might be the machlokas, but ihachi, if that were the machlokas, ema seifa modim chacham Rabbi Yehuda b'zman shatzlochus b'yad atinok umadar chenveni l'tocha shechenveni pater, that everyone agrees if the child never let go of the kli, that the chenveni is going to be pater. Va'amr t'lo l'duei shadrei. But we just said that it's l'duei shadrei, that you sent him to just let the chenveni know. So if you send him just to let the chenveni know, why should the chenveni be pater? He should never trust the child to go back with this kli. So now we're going to pick up the third possible explanation of the machlokas in our Mishnah. Two lines from the bottom of Pezayin and Beis. Ella Abaye bar Avin, Rabbi Chanina bar Avin, Damri Travayu. Rather, both Abaye and Rabbi Chanina, the sons of Avin, presumably they were brothers, both said, Hacha b'mayaskinan, kigon shenatla lamudba, that the case of the Mishnah is not talking about a balabais and the chenveni who are selling plates, no one's selling anything. Rather, you took the plate just as a measuring utensil to measure out the oil into the plate. Ukidarabba, and we're assuming like Rabba, da amar Rabba, hikisha nischayevba. And Rabba holds that once you tap on the lost object, you become chayiv in it. What does that mean, once you tap on the lost object? There is a halacha by Hashavas Aveda, the Gemara in Bava Metzia talks about, called Zakin Ve'enu Lefi Kvodo, that if, let's say, someone is a very respectable figure, and he has a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda like anybody else, but if the item that's lost is something that's beneath his dignity to be seen carrying around, right? So you have a very chashava Talmud Chacham or something, and for him to carry around whatever it is, a video game or something like that, so it's beneath his dignity, people are going to think he's, they don't know, who knows what they're going to think about it, that he's playing video games, that he's buying it, whatever it is. So it's beneath his dignity to carry around such an item. So then he's not chayv in Hashavas Aveda. He has the right, he has the halachic right to ignore the Aveda and not do anything about the Aveda. But that's only if he hasn't done anything yet to make a move toward returning that Aveda. Well, let's say he sees an animal, and it's a l'fikvado for him to be carrying this animal around, but he's hikishabo. He hits the animal with his stick to start leading it in a direction. Then he says, you know what? What am I going to do? I'm going to walk around with this animal. It's a l'fikvado. And he decides he wants to bail out. He doesn't want to continue the Hashavas Aveda. Well, that's too bad. Once it's hikishabo, it's nischayevba. That's what Rashbam says. Hikishabo makal gabizakin ve'en l'fikvado. Mari bam metziah. The aval pishenu chayev lachzira, even though zakin ve'en l'fikvado doesn't have to do Hashavas Aveda, kiven sheikisha nischayevba. Once he hits it, he becomes chayev in it. So now we can understand very well that the case is that the kli was sent to measure something out in. You have machlokas whether you should go and take that kli and return it yourself and not trust the kid with it. But everyone would agree that if you never touched it, you never took it in the first place, so you never began the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so you never began to take the kli. The child had it the whole time, so then everyone would agree you're pater. You never started out. You never began to take it in the first place. Okay, so that's the machlokas. Damer emer, so says the Marba, wait a second, no, that doesn't work either. Emer damer rabba bevali chayim da'an kitinu nigra bar yasa. When does Rabba say his din? That once you tap it, you're chayiv to do Hashavas Aveda. Maybe that's only by a live animal, where when you tap it, you already removed it from its place, it started moving, and says Rashbam, Kolomer Hirgila Levroach Velelich Limarachok, you started teaching it that it's okay to move a little bit and to run a little bit further. I mean, the animal may have been lost, but it also may have been hesitant to go anywhere, and therefore would have been easier for the original owner to find. Once you tap it and you start leading it, so the animal sees, oh, walking around is not so bad, and it's going to wander further, and it's going to travel further, and it's going to be more difficult for the original owner to find. So maybe that's dafka where Rabba said that once you rikisha, once you tap it and you start moving it, that's when you're going to have to do the Hashava Saveda, because you've worsened the position of the balabais. You've worsened the position of the guy who lost the animal in the first place. That's dafka by an animal. That's b'balichayim dan continue nigra bar yasa. Ki aygavna miyamar, but whoever said that he would say such a thing about a plate, about something that's an inanimate object, where you haven't worsened anything by beginning to make a move toward wanting to return it? So it's not so clear that that's the machlokas, that that's the discussion in our Mishnah. Just in general, on this idea that once you begin to do the Hashavas Aveda, you have to finish the mitzvah, so the Gemara makes it a lot less of a rule than it sounded like at first when it says that it's only talking about an animal. But there is such a rule in Shas called Kalamaskal B'mitzvah Amrim Lo Gemar. In fact, it's one of the rules my brother talks about in his Sefer. In his Yech B'chakech, he has a chapter, a very short chapter, on Kalamaskal B'mitzvah Amrim Lo Gemar. The source is a Pasuk and Parshas Matos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Pinchas, he chooses Pinchas to be the one to take Hashem's revenge, Nikmas Hashem B'midyanim, against the Midyanim. So even though Elazar, Pinchas' father, was still alive, why was Pinchas chosen to be the one to take Nekama against Midian? So Rashi says, V'lo halach Elazar, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mi shehischa b'mitzvah shahara kazvi basur yigmar, the one who started the mitzvah of avenging, of taking revenge on the Midianim, so who killed Kazvi Basur, he's the one that is going to go and finish off the killing of the Midianim. So he points out that the reason Rashi says Dafka Kazvi and not Zimri is because killing Zimri was a key of the mitzvah of Kana and Pogimbo, as opposed to killing Kazvi, that was the Haskalas mitzvah of Nekama B'Midian. The difference between the mitzvah of Kana and Pogimbo, killing the Jew who's violating the Avera, versus killing the Midianim, which is the Nekama of the Midianim. So Rashi Dafka said Kazbi, because Pinchas began that mitzvah of avenging the Midianim. Nevertheless, even if you know that you're not going to be able to finish the mitzvah, we still have a din of that you're supposed to start the mitzvah. Meaning a maskil mitzvah amla gemar, you might think, therefore, the mitzvah is worthless unless you finish it. But no, there's also another halacha, that even if you don't think you're going to be able to finish the mitzvah, you're still supposed to start the mitzvah. Now we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu was mafrish, he was mavdil, the arei miklat, on the Eivar HaYarden, even though he knew he would never get into Eretz Yisrael on the other side, and be able to allow them to begin working. Because he said, Amar Moshe, mitzvah shev shalakayma, akaymena. If I have an opportunity to do a mitzvah, I want to go and do that mitzvah. And Mesil Sisharm, Perek Zayin, says that this idea of a maskal b'mitzvah, Amar Lo Gemar, is part of the concept of Zrizin, Makdim in the mitzvahs. That besides for the Zrizos, that you're supposed to show before you start the mitzvah, meaning we always think of Zrizos as a preview to the mitzvah, that we wake up early to go do the mitzvah, right? That we, and that's generally the source of Zrizos from Avram Avinu, Vayashkem Avram Baboker, right? Gemara Pesachim says that we get up early to go do the mitzvah, but there's also Zrizos once the mitzvah has begun, and that's usually where the greater challenge lies. Usually people show a lot of Zrizos right before they're about to start something new, but once they start the mitzvah and it's about seeing it through to the end and making sure it actually comes to fruition, that's where people generally tend to become a little more lazy, and that's also, Mrs. Sharm says, where we have a mitzvah of Zrizos. We have to go out of our way to be Zariz at all times through the mitzvah. That's part of a maskil mitzvah amlo gemar. This is another Ha'ara. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that what's the Svara? That once the Zaken has tapped the animal to go in a certain direction, that he now is no longer Pater with the Ptur of Zaken Venil Fikvodo. So the Aruch HaShulchan is Mevayer, again, at least in the Havamina, before we distinguish between Baal Chaim and other things. The Aruch HaShulchan is Mevayer that the mitzvah of Hashav Saveda is actually both a mitzvah Sasei and a mitzvah Slo Sasei. There's a mitzvah of Hashav to Shivim, and there's a mitzvah of Losucha Liyasalim, that you're not allowed to hide your eyes from it. But he says, think about it. When does the mitzvah of Losucha Liyasalim begin? When is the Lo Sasei? So that begins as soon as you see the item, even before you make any move toward it. As soon as you see Losucha Liyasalim means don't ignore it. Don't do nothing. Right? That's the Lo Sasei. The Asei is Hashav to Shivim. When does that apply? That only applies once you pick it up. Once you touch it, once you do something toward the item, then you have a mitzvah. Okay, now that I have it, Hashav to Shivim, I have to go out of my way and go return it. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, yes, there's a patur of Zaken Venil Fikvodo, but that patur is only a patur from the Lo Sasei. The patur of Zaken Venil Fikvodo is only going to exempt you from Lo Sucha L'Salim. That when you first see the item, you are allowed to be Misalim if it's a Zaken Venil Fikvodo. But it is not a patur from the mitzvah saseh. And therefore, once you go over and you make that first move toward the item and you pick it up and you do something, now you're going to be chayiv. It is not a patur from the mitzvah saseh of hashev to shivim, of going and returning it. So it's not stam that ikisha is, maskel mitzvah m'lo gemara, that you have to go and try to finish it. It's that technically, midine hashava saveda, you're chayiv. You're chayiv in the mitzvah saseh of Hashava Saveda. Okay, anyway, moving on to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, what is the machlokas? What's the fourth and final possibility of the machlokas in our Mishnah, of what they're arguing about in our Mishnah with the plate? Ela marava aniva arisha b'chabura targminuha umanu Rabbi Zeira. Me and Rabbi Zeira explain that hachal mayaskinan kigon shenatla lamud ba'ala acherim. That you took the object to measure for other people. And the machlokas is about a shol shalomidas. Marsav shol havi, marsav gazlan havi. They're arguing whether a shol shalomidas is a shoel or a shol shalomidas is a gazlan. So so says Rashbam, the marsav rabbanon hold gazlan havi. It's a gazlan. V'kanyel ischayiv ba. And therefore you are kona it legabe v'chiyuvim until you get it back to the hands of the bailim. You have a mitzvah sashava. Once you steal something, you have a mitzvah sashava. You have to go and return it. And giving it back to the kid is not a mitzvah sashava. And therefore you're going to be chayiv. Whereas if you hold that you're a shoel, you're going to be pater. Good. So Rabbi Yehuda Savar Shalavi, the next Rishpam Chimach Zero Lamakom Shashal Misham Dai. All you have to do when you're a Shol Shalomidas, if you're considered a Shoel, all you have to do is return it to where you borrowed it from, and you borrowed it from the hands of the Tinoch, so you return it to the hands of the Tinoch. That's all you really need to do, and then you're Patu. You have no further responsibility in terms of returning the item. Now, it's interesting, Rabbi Chanan points out, that we call him a gazlan. A shol shlomidas, if anything, one would have imagined that we would call him a ganav, rather than a gazlan. Rabbi Chanan writes, in Kovet Shiurim, why is he dino kegazlan, not keganav? Shol shlomidas abaylam, who one would have associated more with a ganav. Why more with a ganav? Because the difference between a ganav and a gazlan is that a ganav does things in stealth. He's doing things quietly, where you don't see, not right in front of your face. And shol shlomidas, isn't that exactly what it is? It's shlomidas. So he should have a din of a ganav, and there's nafkamina, whether you're chayv in kefel. So you should be chayv in kefel like a ganav. Why would you say that he's like a gazlan? So in the Biur Yadav, he quotes that Yelas HaShachar is mitarets, that since he doesn't do the act in secret, he's not a ganav, he's a gazlan. Meaning he does the act in a public way, just not in front of the owner of the kli. He's a shol shalomidas, but it's not a secretive act. He's not sneaking around in the middle of the night. And he therefore adds that if be'emes you do it b'seser, if you do it in a secret way, then you're going to be like a ganav. And then in a chinami, you're going to be chayiv in kefel. The guy is going to be chayiv to pay the kefel. There's the Ritva also on this line on our Gemara in Babasu Peches. The Ritva writes that since we hold like the Rabbanan that a shol shlomidas has a din of a gazlan, says the Ritva, Nira sha'asul adam laniach tefillin olis atev petaliso shel chavero shlomidaito. For that reason, you're not allowed to put someone else's tefillin or talis on without their permission. So if you come into shul and you realize, I forgot my talis and tefillin at home, and you see that someone else's talis and tefillin is sitting there, and they davened at the earlier minyan, so you're allowed to go and take their talis, you're not allowed to go take their talis and tefillin, says the Ritva, because that's a shol shlomidas. However, then the Ritva quotes his Rebbe. He says that bidvar mitzvah yeshlomar shenichal elin ishlav mitzvah b'mamone. That we have a concept that people generally are very happy to have mitzvahs done with their money, and since typically they're very happy to have mitzvahs done with their money, so you're allowed to assume that the guy would want you to borrow his talis and tefillin. So that's machlokas rishonim, Ritva and his Rebbeim. We actually pasken in Shulchan Aruch that you are allowed to borrow someone else's talis and tefillin without their permission, because we do assume nichalei le'inishlav mitzvah b'monei. That chazaka, that a person is nichalei, that mitzvah is going to be done with his possessions, is only true when you don't do something to cause an inconvenience to the person that you borrowed it from. If you fold his talis back all wrong, you wrap up his tefillin in all the wrong way, or whatever, you didn't pay attention when you took it out, that how you're wrapping the tefillin and things like that, so then it's not good. Then we do not assume that he's okay with you taking it. We assume that it is problematic. So that's the that's the major caveat. Now, within the sheet of the Ritva, what's the Ritva Svara? Why don't you say Nichle Linishlav Mitzvah Mone? So the Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, or Chaim Simon Beis, that it's Dafka by Sefer Torah Talis Tefillin. We don't say that it's Noach L'Adam L'Kayim Mitzvah Mono, because these are items that are used all the time by the Bailim. And since they're used all the time by the Bailim, when you're borrowing it, the Bailim is not going to be able to use it. So it's very nice. You say, yeah, a guy wants me to do a mitzvah with his items. So if I happen to be sleeping at someone's house and I notice that the guy's tzitzis is there, and I wake up earlier than him, I'll put on his tzitzis. It's nichalei. He wants me to wear his tzitzis all day. Yeah, but what's going to happen when he wakes up and he wants to put on his tzitzis? And they're not going to be there for him. So if you're going to cause him not to be able to do the mitzvah, that's when it's going to be a problem. So he says, the Chassam says, that's what the Ritva is saying. You can't put on someone's tefillin or talis. We're talking about times where people wore their tefillin and talis all day. So you can't put on someone's tefillin and talis because you're likely going to be stopping him from tefillin and talis. But says the Chassam Sofer, nowadays, where you're only going to wear tefillin and talis anyway, talis and tefillin anyway, for davening, and you know that the guy davened at an earlier minyan, he's not wearing it anymore today, maybe even the Ritva will be moda, that it is nichle l'nishakai mitzvah b'monei, that you're allowed to do it because he wants you to do the mitzvah. Also, just explaining the Ritva, it's possible to explain that we don't say Noach L'Adam Sheikai Mitzvah Mono. The Sefer HaMichtam in Psachim Davdalim Bey says that this whole idea of Nichle L'Adam L'Kai Mitzvah B'Mono is only going to apply when the person himself whose money is being used is the one that's getting the mitzvah. But if the person whose money is being used is not the one getting the mitzvah, it's someone else getting the mitzvah, then we wouldn't say this rule. Meaning, what's the source of this rule, Nichle L'Nishkai Mitzvah Mono? The source is, the Gemara Pesachim tells us, if a guy hasn't done Bedikas Chametz, you're allowed to take his money to go do Bedikas Chametz, to pay someone to do a proper Bedika. Why? Who's getting the mitzvah in that case? It's the person whose money is being used who's getting the mitzvah. So then you can say, yeah, he wants his money to be used to go do the mitzvah. But over here, when you take someone else's talis and tefillin, you're the one that's getting the mitzvah, not the guy who owns the talis and tefillin. So mele, you're not going to say such a rule of nichle l'nishkai mitzvah money. But that is all based on this comment of the Ritva over here, the machlokas between him and his Rebbeim, whether you're allowed to borrow someone else's talis and tefillin without permission. So again, the halacha l'maisa is that the bottom line is, you are allowed to, but you have to be very careful to not do anything that would cause any sort of inconvenience to the person you borrowed from. Certainly, you cannot change the size of the head on the tefillin and then assume that that the guy will flip it back and it's no problem for him. A lot of people don't know how to do it anyway. It's an inconvenience. You have to roll it, wrap it the same way. Make sure you put the shalyad and the shalrosh on the same side of the bag that the person left it. Don't leave a mess of it. Put it back in the same spot that you found it. All of that is very important if we're going to rely on this heter. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Gufa. A person takes a kli from an uman in order to check it out to see if he wants to buy it, and something happens and it breaks while he has it, he's chayiv. But that's only if there's been a price that's set for the item already. There was a guy who went to a butcher shop. So he picked up a thigh of beef. He picked up a side of beef. Very strange. As he's holding the beef, as you can imagine in a butcher shop, all of a sudden a guy comes by on a horse galloping by, and he grabs the beef from you and he runs off with it. So they came to Rabbi Yemar. Rabbi Yemar said, sorry, the guy who was holding the side of beef before it got stolen has to pay the owner of the store for the beef. But again, that's only if the price was already set for how much it would cost. There was a guy who brought gourds to Pumnahara. So gourds, it was a big day in town. Everyone was going because finally there was gourds were available to buy. So the people were hacking him, and there was a big crowd, and everyone was taking one, and he couldn't mark down who took, who didn't. He couldn't keep track of what was going on. He was just so overwhelmed by the crowds that were pushing to get their gourds that Amar Luhu, Harein Muktash L'Shamayim. He wanted people to stop taking it. So he just said, you know what, it's all Hagdish. So then everyone backs off. Well, it's Hagdish. So now they can't touch it anymore. Now it's not for them to use anymore. So also the commander of Kana, so he wanted to know, is it really Hagdish? Does he have to now give it all to Hagdish? Or maybe it's not Hagdish. So Amar Luhu, Ain't not the Maktish Dover Shein Shalom. So if Kana said, no, you can't be Maktish Dover Shein Shalom. They're already holding the gourds. Once they were already holding the gourds, and they, so it's theirs. It's no longer yours. So Ain't not the Maktish Dover Shein Shalom. That's only if the price was set. But if the price was not yet set, then it's still in the possession of the guy who brought the gourds in, and therefore he had every right to be makdish it. If you look at the Rashbam, Bereshus Demarayu Kaimi, V'yachal Akdishan, he has the ability to be makdish it. Delo Dami, says Rashbam, it's not like the case, we need the box help over here, L'gazav L'nesiyashu Abaylam, to a case of where someone stole something, but the original Bailam never had Yeush, Damrinan, where the Gemara Baba Kama says, Shneim Einan Yichal Lahakdish, where neither the original Bailam nor the guy who took it is able to be makdish it. Zelafishenu Shalo, Vizelafishenu Rishuso. The one who stole it can't be makdish it because he doesn't own it. The one who was stolen from can't be makdish it because he's no longer in possession of it. So why don't we say the same thing over here? This guy was selling gourds. Everyone grabbed. He wasn't giving anyone permission to grab so quickly. And they. How can he be makdish it? It's Eino Berishuso. So how can you say it's still in his rishus? Dachalava daita lemigzal shalkinu. No, over here, we're not dealing with the case where people were taking it to steal it. No one was bad. No one meant any harm. They weren't trying to steal it. Eloknosan, they were trying to buy it. And since there was no set price yet, they didn't have smichas das because they thought maybe the guy's going to overcharge for it. And therefore they wanted to give it back if he was going to overcharge. And therefore it's still in the rishus of the original owner. It's still considered berishuso that he has the ability to be makdish it. Says Maravaita, Tan Rabbanan, Alokeach Yerek Min Hashuk. A guy buys vegetables from the market. And he picks up and he puts it down and he picks up and he puts it down. So he plans on buying it later, but he's not going to take it yet. So he's shopping around. So lokana velonus chayv meisur. He's not yet been kona it, and therefore he's not chayv. It doesn't become chayv meisur because he didn't really do anything. All he did is pick up some vegetables from the stand and put it back down. He inspected them and put them back down. Gomer belibo leknosa, but as soon as he's gomer belibo, he decides in his heart that he wants to be kona it, kind of in his chayv meisur. So then he's kona it and becomes chayv meisur. So now if he wants to return it, he's got a problem. Lach zero, he has shoshakvar and chayv meisur. He can't just return it because it's already chayv and meisur. So why does Rei Chayv Meiser? Why can't he return it? So the problem is, says Rashbam, below Afrashus Meiser, you can't return it without being Mafresh Meiser. Shekvar Nischayv Meiser ve'in Chaver Moti Mitachas Yad the Davar Shein Masukan. The rule is, if you're a Chaver, you can't allow anything to leave your hands before Meisers have been taken from it. So you can't give it back. The next guy who comes and buys it knows that he's buying from an Amaretz is also going to be Mafresh Maestros anyway, just to be safe, because this is Demai, right? The case is you're buying from an Amaretz, so it's Demai anyway. So the next guy who comes in and buys it is gonna be Mafresh anyway. Still, if you're a Chava, your responsibility is anything that leaves your hands you have to take off Trumas and Maestros from. And therefore, you can't leave it without taking Maestros off of it. So you can't just put it back, because the items are already Chayv and Maestr, and you're a Chava, you can't be Motsi Mitakzi Adadav Shein Masukan. Now, you can't actually take off the maestros because then you're going to be lessening its value, because you're actually removing some fruits, some vegetables, so you can't do that either, because you can't put back less than you were supposed to take. So that you're not allowed to do either. The Tosus points out, Maaser Rishon, Maaser Rani, Einu Mafchiso, Debedemnai, Maaser Vehin Shalom. By Demai, when you're dealing with Maaser Rishon, Maaser Rani, you're allowed to keep Maaser Rishon, Maaser Rani. You just mafresh it, set it aside, but then you're allowed to keep it, because right, no one can prove that you owe it to them. El Mafchiso, Maaser Sheni, but you still caused a loss in the sense of the Maaser Sheni, because the Maaser Sheni, you're responsible to treat it in a different way. The Maaser Sheni, you actually have to bring to Yerushalayim. So you're costing him in the Maaser Sheni sense, and that he would have to now eat that in Yerushalayim. And also in the Trumas Meiser that you give to a Kohen, you're also costing him, because you're going to have to give that to a Kohen. When it comes to the Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani, when you're Mafresh Demai, you don't have to actually give the Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani to the Levi and the Ani respectively. Anyway, Hakei, so what should you do? Ma'asher v'nosan al demei Meiser. You should take off the Meiser and reimburse him. Wait a second, just because you decided that you think you want to buy something, so now that's considered a kinyan, and you're chayv and maisos on it? That's crazy. What did you do already? Where's the kinyan? A decision is a kinyan? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Hoshi Achi Yirei Shemayim Askinan. Now we're dealing specifically with the case of Yirei Shemayim. Kigon Rav Safra, Dekiyim B'Nafshei V'Dover Ames Bulvavo. Like Rav Safra, who fulfilled about himself that Dover Ames Bulvavo, that whenever he says something in his heart, he's always going to fulfill it, even if he never actually said something B'Peh. Even when he decides something in his heart, he's going to live up to whatever he decided. The Rashbam quotes the story, the famous story of Rav Safra, that the situation was that there was a guy that was trying to do business with him, and Rav Safra was in the middle of reading of saying Shema. And so the guy offered Rav Safra a deal. He said, look, I'll pay you $1,000 for this. And Rav Safra certainly would have accepted $1,000, but he was saying Shema, so he didn't respond. The guy assumed that Rav Safra didn't respond because it wasn't enough, so he kept on raising the price. By the time Rav Safra was done with Shema, he was offering him $5,000 for it. So Rav Safra said, you know what, I'll give it to you for $1,000. I would have taken that initially, and once you dover emes bavavo, and once I said in my heart that that's what I would take for it, so I'm not going to take any more for it, just because I didn't respond at first. Good, so that's the Midas Chasidus of Rav Safra. Okay, says the Mishnah. Hasiton, a wholesaler, mekaneach midos of echel shloshim yom, has to clean off his measuring utensils once every 30 days. Ubalabayis echel shem asuchodesh. Ubalabayis has to clean off once every 12 months. Siton does much more volume of business, so there's much more of a mess. He's going to have to clean it off every 30 days just to make sure that the weights are accurate. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer chiluf hadvar. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, it's just the opposite. Chenveni mekaneach midos of pamayim b'shabbos. Chenveni has to clean off his midos twice a week. Umemacha mishkolosu pamachs b'shabbos, and he has to check out his weights also once every week. Umekaneach maznayim al kol mishkol u'mishkol, and he has to clean off the actual scale by each and every time he weighs something. Amram Shimon Gamliel b'medav amamurim belach, aval b'yavei shein tzarech. That's only when it comes to all this cleaning is only when you've been dealing with yayin, shemen. Rashbam says even basar, anything that's moist that could leave something, a film, a residue on the scale. But when you're dealing with the davar yavish, you're putting apples, you're putting peppers down, so you don't need to clean it off because nothing is getting stuck, nothing is happening to it. So there's no sense in having to clean it off if you use the scale exclusively for yavish. The chayiv lachriya lo tefach. You also, when you set the scale originally, you have to put it a tefach in the buyer's direction. I mean, the scale has to weigh down a tefach in the buyer's direction. Why do you have to do that? That's not fair. Why should you have to weigh it down more in the buyer's direction? It should be even. So says the Rashbam, the Gemara mukila b'makom shenagu lachriya. The Gemara is going to talk about a case. The Gemara is going to say that we're talking about a case where that's the minhag. The minhag is that you machriya at a tefach, so you have to follow the minhag. Hayishokolo ayin ba'ayin nosin lagirumin. If you do it exactly 50-50, you don't weigh it down at tefach, then you should compensate him. You should give girumin. Rashbam tries to figure out what the etymology of girumin is, where that comes from. He suggests that maybe it's like hagrama d'shchita, where you lean something, where you lean over by the shchita, and therefore you mess up the shchita. So maybe that's what it means, that you lean it over in that direction. You give him one la asara belach. We'll see exactly what that means of extra. And one of esrim of a dry measure. Makom shnagul, the Gemara will explain what that means. Makom shnagul lamed bedaka lo yamed begasa. If they generally use smaller weights, you're not supposed to use a larger weight. Makom begasa lo yamed bedaka. If people in that town generally use a larger weight, so you shouldn't use a smaller weight. Limchok lo yigdosh, ligdosh lo yimchok. If the minig is to be mochek, you shouldn't be godesh. If the minig is to even out the pile and have it exactly even, you shouldn't pile it up high. If the minig is ligdosh lo yimchok, if the minig is to have a heaping pile, so then you shouldn't smooth out the top of the pile. So says Gemara Minani Mili. How do we know that this is? We start 6:55 today. 6:55. Okay. So Minani Mili. How do we know this is true? Amrei Shlakish Dar Makra Evan Shleim of a Tzedek. Pasuk says Evan Shleim of a Tzedek. Tzedek Mishulcha V'Tein Lo, which means that you should go a little beyond the even amount, and you should give him a little extra. That's why you weigh it a tefach down in his direction. Frankly, Gemara Ihach Yema Seifa Hayishokalo Ayin Bayin Nosan Lo Girumin V'Achra Daraisa Hechiyav Le'Ayin Bayin. But then the Seifa goes on and says that if it's exactly 50-50, if you did it exactly even where you didn't weigh it down one tefach in one direction, you should compensate him for it. But wait a second, if there's a dinda oraisa that you're chayiv to weigh it down in one direction, so what do you mean, if you didn't? How could you not? We're dealing with a guy who's in violation of a dinda oraisa. Ela resha b'makom shenagu. No, so the reason you weigh it down at tefach is not because there's any dinda oraisa that you have to weigh it down at tefach. Rather, that's the minhag. When Reish Lakish said his din that you have to compensate, that's going on the seifa. Hayashokel ayin ba'ayin nosin lo gerumin. That when you're shokel ayin ba'ayin, you compensate him. Minani mili. Reish Lakish said, where do we know that from? Am Reish Lakish damakra v'tzedek tzedek mishulcha. That Reish Lakish, that's where Reish Lakish darshens the pasuk that you should go out of your way to give him a little bit extra. The kama gerumin, how much is gerumin? How much extra do you give a guy when you thought you weighed the scales perfectly evenly? Amrav bar mamal, amrav echad me'asar b'litra b'lach l'asar litrin, which, long story short, translates into 1/100th of the sale. Echad asar b'lach v'echad esrim b'yavish, and we said that's when it comes to a moist measurement, but when it comes to things that you're measuring dry, that you're weighing dry, then it's echel the esrim. So says Gemara Yibayiluhu. What does that mean? Hechi kamar. What do we mean by echel the esrim? If one la'asara meant 1/10 of a tenth, which means 1/100th, what does 1/20th mean? Does it mean 1/20th of a 20th or 1/20th of a tenth? Right? So hechi kamar. Echon me asara belach la'asara delach ve'echon me esrim biyavish la'esrim diyavish, which would mean 1/400th. Or maybe it means 1/200th by yavesh. Teku, the Gemara leaves it as a teku, unanswered. Rabbi Levi. The punishment for being unethical in the way you measure things out when you sell things is worse than the punishment for arayos. The word these is used for both, el and ela, but it's without the hay when it comes to arayos, hatoevos ha'el, and by midos it's with the hay, and the hay is assumed to be adding on. Hosef HaKosef Ben Hei, Rashbam says, L'rabus L'hagdil HaKish Rishoy, to emphasize the severity of it, that it's more severe when a person is dishonest in their business dealings than it is if a person commits sins of arayos. Umay mashma dahai el kashahu. Where do we see that the word el in general, that ela el, is a lashon of kash at all, where it's a lashon of severity in any way? Dechsev veis ele haaretz lakach. Gabi arayos nami, because it says ele haaretz lakach, and that's referring to very hard things. Gabi arayos nami yaksiv ela, but by arayos it also says ela. So how can you say that it only says el by arayos, not ela? Holamute midos mikares. No, that's only to tell me that you're not chayiv kares for midos, but by arayos you're going to be chayiv kares. But really, which has the more severe punishment? Midos has the more severe, it should be dealt with more severely. It's just that when it comes to the actual punishment of kares, that you have by arayos, you don't have by midos. So, astafla, hianosenes. Why don't you have it by midos? Why don't you have kares by midos? So says afla, because it's not enough. Kares is enough to punish you for a kapara, for arayos. It's not enough of a punishment for midos. You deserve something much worse. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take care of it in the Olam HaEmes. Ve'lamayud fayu. So then, in what sense is midos worse than arayos if there's no kares? It's impossible to do tshuva for the averos of midos because you don't even know who you cheated. You're never going to be able to track down all the people that you stole from, and therefore it's impossible to do tshuva on such an avera.